Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. Woo, we're going to have to vastly improve on that church. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. Well, maybe this will help you. Look over at somebody and say, you're about as ugly as I've seen. Now tell them this, but you've been improving ever since you've been in church. Oh, you enjoyed the first half of that better than the latter half. Now somebody shout, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hot dog. If you can't say hallelujah, say hot dog. It'll be all right. It's good to be in service this morning. I want to thank Brother Goodwin for the invitation, being here on this morning service. Good to be at Truth Camp. 20 years, that's amazing. What a blessing. I remember so many memories come back from being in this campground, but we don't have a lot of time to spend on this. Just want to say we're glad to be here. God bless you for being here. We're going to get right into this message this morning. I want you to turn with me. If you have your Bibles, you should have your Bible. How many has their Bible? Now, don't indicate yourself. Just bring your Bible. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1, would you? I want to take you down to a verse, I suppose, that's used in almost every youth camp. Stand with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look over at your neighbor and say, get in this morning. Get in this morning. These are all just calisthenics. They don't mean anything to anybody. Just get your kind of your heart flowing, blood pumping. Amen. Look over at your neighbor and say, make sure you say amen this morning. Oh, man. Look with me, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let me read the first portion of that. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, dear God, for the opportunity that we have to be here together in this place. And we pray, Father, that you would afford us this time together. We pray, God, for every young person here, every mother and dad, every minister, all of us, God, as we've gathered here at this time. Help us not to waste it. Father, help us take clear advantage of it. Father, speak to us out of your word. Give us that unction of the anointing that we so desperately need every time we come together, every time we breathe breath, every time we walk across the room. We pray, God, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us in your truth. We need it as we've never needed it before. Father, this generation must see a move of God lest we die. We pray, God, that we'd begin to see one crop out among even those who gathered in this place, from churches and hamlets and villages, God, with young people shut up in their own bedrooms, out in the corner of the yard, somewhere out in the field, hungry for you, tearing long after the final amen of the service. We pray, God, that you'd give us a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We'll thank you for it. And somebody said, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. I want to take you here, and I've preached after this text. Every preacher here, I'm certainly has preached after it many times. I want to break down a word here for you. He said he purposed that he would not defile himself. Now, the primitive root of the word defile uses this. It's through the idea of freeing. I want you to note that word freeing. He was freeing or repudiating. Repudiation means the denial of the truth or validity of something. Daniel purposed not to lose sight of what he knew was real. He didn't want to free himself from that which he knew to be real in his heart. He didn't want to lose sight of a reality. That's most essential, young people. You cannot lose sight of a reality. You've got to keep it real. If you ever lose reality, you've lost life. And may I tell you this morning, if you lose a sense of truth concerning your own life, if you cannot be true to yourself, you cannot be true to God. If you're not honest about yourself, you cannot be honest with God. You cannot portray on the outside what you do not possess on the inside. I had rather own 10%. Then borrow 100. You must be what you are. You know, I'm watching today, and you've seen this. We've seen the word atheist arise like I suppose I've never heard it in my life. To date, I do not know one honest atheist. This is what I have found, that every atheist that I have met lacks the power of a godly example. I remember sitting across a hamburger with a young man whose brother attended our church. He was determined that he was an atheist. And so we talked a little bit. His family was of a certain persuasion that they believed that once you were saved, you were always saved. And so he wanted to believe what he was taught. He loved his parents. But there's something about someone who is in depression. Many times atheists are very articulate people. They're people of great reality. They're not just negative bums, but they're concerned. They want to know truth. Somebody give me the truth. Don't give me a lie. And they can't deal with anything in between. I saw it in the personality of this young man's life. I asked him, I said, he told me he'd been saved. And he said later on, a few years later, he said, I was sitting in my automobile contemplating taking my life. He said, it came to myself. I thought, if I'm supposed to be a Christian and there is supposed to be a God, how in the world can I be sitting here contemplating killing, taking my own life? So I began to ask him, I said, well, since you were saved back then, I said, have you ever committed this sin? Yes. Have you ever committed this sin? Yes, I have. Have you ever committed this sin? I said, does not the Bible clearly tell us that none of these things shall enter into the kingdom? It is very likely that you had a born-again experience, but somewhere along the journey, you lost sight of your faith and you fell out with God. Friend, your God may not be real, but I told him my God was real. But the problem was he could not get over the negative impact of the religious philosophy that this family had. I remember sitting in the funeral of this young man. He had gone into a hotel room, found a device on the internet that he could take his life away painlessly. He took his life away. But what so aggravated and incensed me was that preacher stood behind the pulpit and preached him right on into heaven. Hear me, saints of God, you must be aware of truth and reality. You can never lose a sense of truth. Can you say amen? Never do it. I'm going to give you a loaded gun. And you're going to have to be careful how you use it. Question everything you're not sure is real. I don't care who it is, where it is, or what it is. I've watched too many young people live something, look like something, talk like something, act like something until their environment changes. And they vacillate with their environment. You know why? They never owned it. Only borrowed. Only borrowed. Saints, I'm talking about a high 90% of the church world. It's borrowed, let alone. They're little about the things that we believe in that we sought for in an altar prayer, bled it through in an altar prayer, sought and laid a hold of God. Why? Because this generation has been robbed of the reality of the trueness of a divine God. We're taught to believe in a God that's being debated within society. Can I tell you the present political state of our nation is not debating with the church. It's debating with something called the church. You hear me now? We've lost sight of a divine. You can never debate with God's church. Remember when the Roman soldiers went out to kill him? They came back empty-handed, said, where is he? He talks like nobody I ever heard of in my life. You can't debate with the reality of God's divine church. Can somebody say amen? You may be struggling in your school to live up a Christian example. Make sure that you have more than what your church teaches. Make sure you have more than what's in the Sunday school quarterly. Make sure that you have more than what we can give you in youth camp. May I challenge you this morning, this week in camp, do something. Don't seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't seek for divine healing. Don't seek for restoration in your body. Don't seek that you might get through depression. Don't seek that God will send you the man or the woman for your life. Don't seek anything at all. Seek nothing at all but one thing. Seek Jesus Christ himself. That's all. One thing. Seek him. You may be here this week thinking, well, maybe I'll find me a boyfriend or a girlfriend. There's nothing wrong with that. But may I inform you, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, God will give you the man or the woman that he wants you to have when you're supposed to have it. If you believe it, can you shout amen? And you cannot walk in them. You know, one of the greatest fears of my life when I was a young person seeking the Lord's will in marriage for my life is to one day come into a morning breakfast table and sit down at the table and look across the table at a woman that I knew was not God's will for my life. That terrified me down to my core. I thought, God, I cannot have served you this long and miss it that bad. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about being in church. I'm talking about being in the kingdom. I'm talking about living a reality that's more than you possess yourself. If your daddy or your mother or your preacher are doing all of your praying, you're on your way. Let me be as hard as I can. You're on your way to hell. Saints, and the quicker a reality. We need a quick reality. We need a truth and a reality. My God, let's go on a little bit. Daniel purposed not to lose sight of what he knew was real. Two things are basic to this desire in Daniel. It's the what and the how. You've got to know what truth is. You've got to know what truth is. But you not only have to know what truth is, you'd have to know how to get to truth. Because you will learn a truth. If you know what it is, you gain that truth. But to gain other truth, you're going to have more than yesterday's revelation. You've got to have the ability to lay a hold of truth. You've got to have something inside yourself that tells you where to go to school or if you're going to go to school, who you're going to marry, if you marry at all, what you're going to do with your life, what you believe in, the convictions that you possess. Somebody may tell you how to live it, but let me tell you, all that is borrowed. The convictions that'll last you a lifetime, friends, are the ones you pray through for yourself. Come on, give the Lord a good amen this morning. Oh, my God. You see, a conviction that somebody has told you about may be good and godly, but that don't give you ownership. Come on. I need something that's going to carry me into next week, next month, next year. I need something that's going to carry me through the rising tide. I believe you know this, but we're facing a war. Saints, this is deadly ground. We're one administration away from a socialist nation. Every day they're plying for the souls that birthed this nation into its reality. You and I have got to have something more than the average, the common, and the usual. We've got to have something that is birthed and born out of a prayer closet. I don't mean a prayer meeting. I don't mean the closet itself. I don't mean an altar bench. I mean somebody who knows what to do with it. When you get down there at it, come somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Not you walk away and somebody say, well, you've been in the presence of God. When you've been in the presence of God and you know it, you don't need anybody telling you you've been there. Can somebody shout amen? Hallelujah! But you will never know what God's voice is like. And you will never know when God shows up if you don't have enough personal truth and reality of your own to know when you're right and to know when you're wrong. You've got to know who you are. The best thing you can do first for yourself is to find out truly where you're at. Don't assume because somebody told you. Come on. Somebody told me I was a good Christian before I was ever saved. I'm glad I didn't buy into that. You've got to be real to yourself. You've got to know what truth is. And you've got to know what it is. You've got to know what it is. What do I do with the altar? Friends, we're coming down and we're assuming a thing about Pentecost. Pentecost where you shout, dance, run the aisle, cry, and bow and throw a fit. And then you get together with your boyfriend or girlfriend after it's over and eat a hot dog. That's Pentecost. We come down in mass crowds and hold on to each other. Let me tell you, what you need is you need time alone in the presence of God with nobody but you and God. And turn your music off. Why? That's good godly music. Who cares what it is? Turn it off. God doesn't need help to get your attention. And that music can set your tone for worship and prayer. It may be good and godly and written under the hand of the Holy Ghost. But when you're praying, all you need is the voice of God. And if you can't deal with just God and alone, you have not accomplished a prayer meeting. You have got to give yourself on a ground. You know you've given yourself to God. I remember when I was going to college and I would drive. It was about a 30-minute drive. Well, during that time, I met my wife-to-be. It was a blind date. First one I was ever on, last one I was ever on, best one I was ever on. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Friends of hers were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we went on this date together. So we went to the Pizza Hut. We go to the Pizza Hut every year on the day we met. We went to the Pizza Hut. Afterward, we went to a prayer meeting. And they got over there, his girlfriend one place, him in another place, my date in another place. And they're praying in the Holy Ghost, for which I was not filled, even though I was going to a Pentecostal church. And I was hot-dogging it and hallelujahing it up for the best I could bring up. I'd done everything I knew short of being full of the Holy Ghost. Finally, I got up with enough honesty to say, y'all going to have to pray for me that I get filled with the Holy Ghost. So they laid their hands on me and spit on me a little bit, and we went on to the house. Well, that was on a Saturday, Sunday morning. I was still hungry to get this thing. After all, I was dating a girl full of the Holy Ghost. I better catch up somewhere. It was that Sunday morning, Spirit of God moving in that place. We had a wonderful church to go to. I stood down in that altar, lifted my hands. I mean, God was coming down. My jaw was a-quivering. Remember it says, with stammering lips and another tongue. Oh, that stammering lips. Friend, don't stop with the stammering lips. You go right on. I said, you go right on. If you're going to pray through, do it. And if you're not going to pray through, there's nothing like praying through. You either are or you're not. You either do or you don't. If you're digging a well and you're looking for water, until you tap water, you don't have a well. All you've got's a hole in the ground. Can somebody say amen? Well, preacher, does that mean I should never pray? No, you've got to dig a hole to get to the water. But don't ever call it a well if it's just a hole. I remember that Sunday morning, man. Oh, I was so excited. I got on the phone. I called her and I said, you never believe what happened this Sunday morning. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's great. Wonderful. 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 That's Sunday. Monday, I wasn't as excited about it. See, I knew that I was saved without a doubt. And I just assumed that if I should get filled with the Holy Ghost, I would know that without a doubt. Monday come along. Tuesday, I drive back and forth to college, thinking about all this. Weighing on my mind. Wednesday came along with church that night. I told the Lord, I said, God, I said, you've got to fill me tonight, or I've got to know that I'm filled before I leave. I was at home. Parents were in bed. Brothers in bed. I got down beside the dining room table. I said, I've got to either be filled tonight or know that I am before I get up off this floor. The sun will come up in the morning if it has to, and I'll still be here if you don't show me. I got on my face, began to pray, and I was praying. I prayed everything I knew. I said, God, as far as I know in my heart, there's not any sin in there. It's all under the blood. And the Lord took me down a prayer that I'd never been willing to pray before. In my mind's eye, I saw my mother and my dad and my little brother going down the interstate in the automobile, and all of a sudden they were involved in a flaming automobile accident, burn up alive. And the Lord put that picture before my face, and he gave me a choice. He said, will you give me this, if that's what it takes to have this? Are you so hungry for me that you'll give me what you've just seen before your face? Let me tell you, I struggle with that, friends. But see, it's the struggle that births something inside of you. It's the struggle where things are born. It's when the seed's got to struggle beneath the ground that it has the chance to bring forth something of life. I struggled with it. He's not looking for me simply just throw up a flippant, yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Because most of the time, how many knows that's a lie? How many lies have been told in youth camp? Come on, church. How many of you told, don't wave your hand, but how many told lies in youth camp? Your mouth said one thing, but your heart didn't agree with what your mouth. And I was struggling with that. See, God, how many knows God knows the truth? Come on, church. How many are fully aware that God knows? Someone lift your hand up if you believe God knows the truth. And I was struggling with that. That was the picture. He didn't remove the picture. Isn't that an awful God to give you a picture like that? Isn't that an awful God to portray something so terrible, so tragic, so difficult? You've got to make a choice between God and your family dying in a flaming automobile accident on the highway and realizing it was your decision that put them there. I had to walk through that. I had to walk through that. Finally, after some time of deliberation, my mind sunk down inside my spirit, and I began to say from another register, God, if that's what it takes to have what you want for my life, I give you my family, friends. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. I was on my knees, and I lifted my hands. I began to speak in another tongue. God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that may mean tongues to you, but it don't mean tongues to me. I got up off that floor. I rebuked every devil in the house. I don't know if there was one in there, but I had power over him. Oh, my God, I had power over him. I remember as an evangelist, you know, here I was had pastored Assembly of God Church, and we went on the field as an evangelist, and we'd go up and down the road pulling a fifth wheel, preaching various churches. And I remember we were in Oklahoma, and a pastor friend of mine that I had known for quite a while was he was hosting the revival, invited me to come to the fellowship meeting. He was doing the preaching. I sat on the back row because an evangelist is a cancer among many pastors. Oh, he's gonna ask me for a revival. I didn't even carry business cards for that reason. I sat up on the back row so nobody'd know that I was an evangelist. And I'm sitting on the back row, and that pastor, my friend, is preaching behind the pulpit, and I couldn't tell you a thing today what he said. But I do know one phrase. I can see him now behind that pulpit. He said, Pentecostal people need to pray in the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Friends, he might as well had a bow in his hand. He took an arrow and he shot it straight at my heart. It hit me. I heard nothing else he had to say. One thing God was trying to tell me. I had a decision to make, just like I had a decision to make when I was seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There, he said to me, will you do what I've told you? You know, I could have read that out of the Bible and probably had 100 times, 1,000 times. I could have heard the preacher preach on that. But there's something about a revelation from God. How many knows there's a difference? When God speaks it down inside your soul and the other sentences do not apply to you nearly as much as the one God is revealing himself to you. Saints, this is what's so vital. You've got to have times in your life where God himself shows up to speak to you in particular. I'm not talking about you had a great Sunday morning service. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost moved in the altar. I'm talking about when God came down and spoke directly into your soul. You'll carry that for the rest of your days. There will be times when you will necessarily have to fall back on a revelation that God gave you in particular, and somebody's going to ask you why you believe what you believe. Don't take them to the manual of the church. Don't tell them what the pastor said. Take them back to a date and a time when God burst something down inside of you. I knew that God was telling me, you're going to have to make a decision. You're either going to tell me yes or you're going to tell me no. How many knows that God knows how to get your attention? My daddy taught me that. Son, I can't make you do anything, but I sure can make you wish you had. Woo! Dad was God for many years. There's nothing wrong with that. I knew I had to make a decision. You're either going to tell me yes or you're going to tell me no. Finally, after some deliberation, I said, okay, God, I know you're speaking. This is what I will do it. And he knew it when I'm in it. How many knows he does? Well, I had to go home, make this good. Remember, God didn't tell you anything you get to hold up here. It's going to come out here and here. Come on, church. It's going to come out here. There will be actions following information. God spoke to me, so I had to go home. Now, we're holding revival, and I go home. We're in this fifth wheel. My wife's asleep upstairs. My boys are asleep down. All there's left for me for a prayer hall is the bathroom. I've got a tub and shower stall here, a sink here, and a toilet here. And I've got the wall right here. It's my prayer closet. So I'm in the bathroom. So I'm there in that bathroom. You thought I was seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost all over again. Oh, my God. God, I made you a promise. Now realize, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you don't just drop into mama came in on a Honda. Come on. You don't just go back to what your preacher's wife used to say and start repetition. You can do that. A lot of folks do that, but that's fake news. I mean, you're going to have to get a hold of something that's real. Can somebody say amen? You're going to have to get a hold of something real. I knew that I wouldn't slide nothing by God. You got to be aware you're not sliding nothing by God, and pray, thank God every day that it's impossible to do so. Can somebody say amen? I wasn't sliding nothing by God. You're either going to pray through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and pray in the Spirit, or you're not going to. I made God a promise. He knew I'm in it, but I still got to make good on it. And he told me every day of my life. He didn't say Monday. He didn't say Tuesday. Go with me with this. He didn't say Wednesday. Come on now. He didn't say Thursday. He didn't say Friday. He didn't say Saturday. He didn't say Sunday. He said every day. Finally, I don't know how long it lasted, but it finally broke through, and I prayed in the Spirit. Oh, my God, I prayed in the Spirit. Thank God. Well, he knew a minute. There was something to it. We left there, went to another revival, and and I think it's Northeast Texas. It's about 11 o'clock at night. We pulled the fifth wheel up alongside the church. I'd gone into the auditorium. I like to acquaint myself with the building, just kind of get the spirit of the place before I go over. Went back over to the fifth wheel about 11 o'clock. My family's already in bed. Seems that's always so. Family's in bed. I'm brushing my teeth. I hear something on the outside. Somebody's scuffling out there. I said to my wife, I said, a lot of noise out there. She said, oh, it's been going on all night. I said, no, this is something different. Finally, I walked over to the door. Now, the pastor had, at that time, we didn't have cell phone. We didn't have a beeper. And so the pastor, first time I'd ever had this happen, he gave me his cordless phone. He said, if you need it, give me a call. Never had that happen before. Had that in the trailer. So I walked over the door, opened the door. There's two men fighting at the corner of the churchyard. I yell out to them. Thought I'd break. I just knew it was two drunks just scuffling. They'd go on their way. I yelled out to them. They didn't make any move. I went over and I grabbed a flashlight, shined it out around them. But when I came back the second time, the large man was standing over the small man. And he looked up at me, went over and got in his car, and he drove off. So I called 911. He said, well, do we need to send a police car or an ambulance? I said, oh, no, just send a police car. I said, just a couple of drunks out here. Just got in a fight. Well, I waited, and finally the cruiser showed up. And he liked to drove over the man twice. He got out, and he was putting his finger up beside the guy's nostril. I walked over and I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm not used to dealing with dead bodies. I said, he's dead? He said, he sure is. He had knifed him 6 times in the chest and 3 times in the back and left him there for dead. For a memorial to his death, they put a fifth of whiskey at the bottom of the tree where he deceased. And the Lord spoke to me, son. Somebody asked me, I said, what would you have done if he identified? I had to go to court for this thing. I had to go to trial and be a witness in this thing. And I had several questions come to me at that time. And the question was, what would you have done? What would you do? He knows he's seen your face. And the Lord spoke to me immediately. He said, son, I've got you in the palm of my hand. We left from there and we were had a little layover. And we were headed to another revival. We pulled into a little mom and pop RV. Now, if you've got a fifth wheel and you do any RVing, stay out of mom and pop RV joints. Just go to KOA, go where there are a lot of lights on. Don't pull in the mom and pops, shade trees hanging down. They've only got one light bulb for 25. Don't do that. We pull back there. We back the thing in. I'm dolling it down. My family's in bed. I'm dolling the thing down. And as I'm watching through the night, everybody's pickup pulls up, parks right next to me. Guy gets out, another one behind the steering wheel. One walks up to me, he's got a hammer in his hand. So I turn, I thought, well, I'm either going to have to hit him or do something, but he's coming at me with a hammer in his hand. When he walked up to me, he looked at me real strange. Then he asked me about a restaurant. I told him about one that I knew, but that wasn't the one he was interested in. He got back in the pickup and drove off with his buddy into the night. And the Lord spoke to me, son, come on, church. I've got you in the palm of my hand. Let me hurry with this. We were holding revival in Texarkana. Can't remember if Texas or Arkansas. Anyway, Texas. And we were there at the meeting, and the pastor, he said, we're going to have revival all week long. He said, I want to call the men for a 6 o'clock morning prayer meeting. And I thought, well, I am the evangelist, and it'd be the right thing for me to show up. So I decided to go to that 6 o'clock prayer meeting. That first day I was there, the Lord began to deal with my heart. He said, I want you to pause and listen. Do you hear the comings and goings of the cars along the street side? Are the telephones ringing? Is there a lot of busyness going on right now? In this quiet hour of my presence, you can lay a hold of me. It cost you a sacrifice to get out of that bed. I want you to start this from this day on. You commit yourself to an early morning prayer. I remember Brother Clendenin used to tell us, Jesus rose up a great while before day, and so will this school. Oh, my. I remember the first time I went to that school, my heart leaped out with an amen. Now, let me just crisscross here. I'm trying to hurry. I told the Lord I'd pray in the Holy Ghost, but after a time, the Lord said, okay, you know, I'm not telling you. He said, well, I'm telling you okay. I'm just simply, I know the voice of God. Come on, how many knows what I'm talking about? Oh, is that all that knows what I'm talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about? I knew what God was saying. It's like, okay, I'll let you pray. You prayed in the Holy Ghost, and you obeyed me there. But I ain't going to let you hang out there. That's not where I called you. He said, I want you to pray until you're enveloped in my spirit. Oh, my God. This is a thing of a different order, church. I'm not here to tell you that I've done all this. So that's great. So I don't even possess a spirit like this as I'm preaching this to you more. And I pray, God, if you've got a spirit to discern differently. Oh, my God. I want you to know, saints, I'm simply telling you this because sometimes we talk about things that are just in the book. Let me tell you what I know. Is that all right, church? The Lord spoke to me, son. I want you to envelop yourself in the Holy Ghost. Don't just pray till you speak in tongues, but you go on past that until the glory of God comes down inside your soul. Saints of God, that's when languages of different course come out. You'll see things in the heavenlies. God will show you things you weren't looking for. You'll walk into a room and discern people as soon as you see them. You'll know when they're doing good and you'll know when they're doing bad. You may never open your mouth, but in your prayer closet you'll find a way to pray and you'll lay a hold of God. For there are too many times in your life, child of God, when you're not going to have an answer. When you get out of bed in the morning, there are three voices talking to you. Either the devil, yourself, for God, but only in the presence of the Lord can you discern the truth of who is talking to you. If you believe it, can you shout amen? I want to bring this to a close, but Daniel purposed in himself that he would not defile himself. That means he wasn't going to allow himself to be free from what he knew. He would not allow himself to lose sight of the reality. Now let me tell you whose sight he didn't want to lose. It wasn't his pastor. It wasn't his papas. It was what was birthed in his own life. Young people, I want to challenge you. And I'm certain there are many wonderful challenges that have gone out to this wonderful camp meeting. Pay close attention to them. But may I challenge you this morning, if you seek one thing in this camp, seek him. Lord, push. I'm going to challenge you a little bit further. Don't even try to speak in tongues. Quit doing it. Don't even try to cry. If you can pray without crying, you do it. If you can pray without jumping up and down and raising your hands, you do it. You say, something wrong with that, pastor? Sometimes there is. If all worship is to you is hollering and screaming and running and jumping up and down, then you have not learned to worship on the grounds of the Spirit of the Lord. I want to challenge you this morning, and don't come down in a huddle. You get alone. If you got to crawl underneath one of these chairs and lay a hold of God, tarry long into the day until you hear one word from God you knew came from God. Not what you thought or imagined or you assumed or you come up with. You need one clarion call from heaven to lock a hold of your heart, some reality. You're going to need that in the days ahead. Let me tell you why, because in this room here, in this room this morning, you're dealing with all kinds of things. Let me tell you, I don't think there's a youth camp that exists that there are not young people in that room that are not dealing with some of the most difficult, some of the most devilish, some of the most darkened sins. Too many times walked away. We've got one chance to declare to you there is a reality in God. It's not about just going to your church and singing the psalms because you believe what you believe and they what they believe. There can be absolutely no reality in that. I'm talking about until you lay a hold of a divine God of which many know nothing about. I can ask many Christians have never heard the voice of God. I've got a book up there. I've got a Bible up there, and he has a word, but he also has a voice, and that you must become aware of, because this Antichrist spirit is growing in the world in this hour. You know, I've never in the last 15 years or 14 years seen it like this before. Isn't it amazing how you can usually tell the devil? He just has a way of making himself known. I'm the devil. Or anybody that is his, he's just walking, oh, there's the devil. Oh, they're full of the devil. Let me tell you, that's not happening anymore. Let me tell you how the devil's at work right now. This is how, now watch closely. He just moved, and you missed him. I've never seen deception to rival what I've seen in the last several years. I have had to deal with behind closed doors where nobody would know that they would herald and put on the platform and the pulpit and the Sunday school room in most churches. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I am telling you what I know. You're going to need a sense of the divine reality of God. You have decisions to make in your life. Don't one day wish you had made a different one than you did. The only way, young lady, young man, don't dare enter in any lifestyle. Don't even go to college. Don't even get a job or buy an automobile or marry a wife or marry a man for which you have not sought out God's will for your life, not yours together. Your will God's will in your life. Until you get along with God, you know you've heard the voice of God. When you hear the voice of God, it don't make any difference if he's fat or skinny. It doesn't make any difference if he's got bad breath in the morning or she loses all of her teeth. Come on now. You married on different grounds. Come on, somebody. Woo! How many knows there's a middle-aged spread? If you won't overcome that, let me, hey, you birth a reality inside of you that's real. I want to challenge you this morning. You've got to make it real. It's got to be real. Won't you shut yourself in with me across this room? Would you just close your eyes, bow your heads in the presence of the Lord? Oh, my. Now, if you're hungry, you're going to get this. If you're not, we're going to lunch here in a minute. You won't have to worry about it. It'll be over with. But if you're hungry for God, I never seen it when a full crowd ever gets hungry for God. I have always seen it where you got a few. God pulls back that big bowl loaded with that arrow and shoots you right in the heart. Oh, my God. Some of you in this room have become a facade of what God originally intended for your life, and you've passed that deadness on to another generation. Some of you were wounded sometime in the past, and you've become a byproduct of that experience. I'm afraid you and I don't have that privilege. We have to pray it through. You've got to get it through. Remember when David came into Ziklag, what he found? Here's the man of God. He's going to be anointed to be king. But when he came into Ziklag, what he found was the city was burned to the ground. His family was taken away from him. His men spoke of killing him because he's the leader. And he wept with his men until he had no more power to weep. But God did not answer him. He didn't get his answer because he was in trouble. He didn't get his answer because he had a future role in the kingdom of God. David only got his answer when he began to encourage himself in the Lord his God. It brought him back into his right mind. It said, God, you're bigger than anything I face. You're bigger than any circumstance I go through. He began to encourage himself in the Lord his God, and you're going to have to learn how to do the same without anybody around pumping you and priming you and patting you on the back. You'll go home and somebody will kick you in the face. And when they kick you in the face, you thank God for it. I'm not here telling you to be a mat. I'm not here telling you to be run over. That's not the kingdom of God. When you'll suffer, you'll have the power to be offensive if you want to be. It'll take power of God inside of you to make the choice you do for Christ. I'm not talking about a physical kicking. I'm talking about hell's going to try to hurt your feelings. Hell's going to try to abuse you by any way it can. You're going to be tempted by every means. School's coming. Things are going to go on. Maybe you're going to like that girl a little more than you should. That boy, you know where I'm going. You get one chance. You get one chance to have a clean and a pure vessel. You lose that one chance, you never get it again. God's gracious. I'm not here to beat you up. God's gracious. He can show that, and he has. And we're thankful for it. But I'm not going to preach so much the grace of God this morning as I am the chance you have in the presence of the Lord to do this thing right. Isn't it time to give God a chance? Quit. Not talking about the church. I'm not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to be Pentecostal, anything else. It's time you get a hold of God. See if he's real. Somebody may be here almost losing sight of belief that God is even real. You know why? Because you've never lingered anywhere close to his presence. You ever get a hold of God, you ever get in touch with God, you'll never be the same again. Oh, my God. I want you to pray with me right now. Somebody needs to talk to God because he's already talking to you. God's already asking some things. The Lord of glory is already talking to you. Let me go just a little farther. I'm not trying to linger this. You're here this morning. Perhaps your ministry started out with great zeal and fire for the Lord, and you were hungry for God. But you've been through a series of troubles, and somewhere along the journey, it got you down, and you've allowed it to defile your spirit. Pastor, that's hard. You don't know where I've been. I'm not taking you just... Friends, I've got stories I can tell you about trouble. I'm not here to tell you about them. Just walk through the Bible. Here to defile, something got inside of you. You've carried along religiously, but you've lost sight of the glory. You hadn't prayed it through, and you've been dependent upon other things or other people. And you're carrying along as a facade and a mask of a true reality. The problem is there's so much loss. There's so much lateral damage around you. What could young people of this nature, friends, family, could have? I remember in pastoring our church, I told a man in our church, I said, look, he and I were the same age. I said, I'm keying on you. I said, but I want you to understand that if you don't give yourself to God, you're going to leave this church and you won't even want to go. On two occasions, I thought we were at the door of it. His father-in-law and I became friends from a distance. He wasn't saved. Distantly, things were about to take place. But he ended up leaving the church. I won't give you all the details of that. His father-in-law died. His brother committed suicide. So many other things. Because a man wouldn't give himself to God. Well, Pastor, I've lived my life after a certain advantage so long, and I've got so many material things that have propped me up. What'll I do with all those? What are they inside of doing God's will for your life? And how will you stand before the Lord of glory and give an account for yourself? You must go back to the place where you hear one voice from God. And if you can hear one word from God, you can hear it again and again and again, and He'll begin to speak to your life. It's time to recover and time to renew. Oh, my God, I'm going to ask you to stand with me across the room, would you? Just continue to shut yourself in with the Lord. And don't even allow anybody around you to be foolish right now. There's time for play, and that's a lot of fun. I understand that. But right now, in the presence of the Lord, as they begin to sing and play, you're here. You'd say, God, I know you. I know you want me. I know you're speaking to me. I need you. Can I tell you, this generation of the church, including the one I'm a part of, has got to recover things we don't even know we've lost. The only way we're going to gain what we don't even know we've lost is we're going to have to learn how to find God again. How will I know God's voice? You can't know God's voice unless you're true to yourself. Because His voice can become a thousand voices. It's only when you know it, when you tarry long. Others will go and play. They won't be able to take it. I'm not talking about prayers, a constant drudge. You just got to get in there and beat away. The ones who say that have never truly broke through and never stayed broke through. Once you break through that prayer meeting, let me tell you this morning, if God would choose to take all that I possess, this is going to make me sound like a holy Joe, but God knows different. There's one thing I don't ever want Him to take from me. That's the prayer meeting. If I lose my prayer meeting, I've lost it all. I can't be the husband my wife needs nor the father my sons need, or for anybody else. I want to challenge you this morning. Are you really hungry for God? Do you really want the Lord? I'm going to ask you to come all over this place. You come with your own address toward Him. Come on. Come on. Don't come down as a mob. You come down just you. Just you. Stand, kneel, lay on the floor, crawl up underneath the chair. I don't care what you do. But I want you to come this morning. Give yourself a rally. And you stay there. You hear God speak to you. You let Him renew something in your heart and your soul. Let Him refresh something inside your soul. Oh, my God. This thing has got to be something bigger than you are. Oh, God, I need your voice. I need your word. I must not carry on as I have. I need you. Perhaps you've been disappointed in the lack of reality that you see in the church world today. Change that. Change that. There's a God in heaven waiting to hear from you. Oh, my God, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, my God, we need some young boys. Get a hold of God. We need some young ladies. Get a hold of God. We need some young men. It don't make any difference what your youth group does. It doesn't make any difference if your whole church goes to hell in a handbasket. It doesn't make any difference at all, ultimately. But it does make the difference what you do. My God, it does make the difference what you do. Evan Roberts got on his face before God and tarried long before the Lord in travailing prayer. And God sent a revival to Wales. Oh, my God. Two ladies way up in years tarried before the Lord, hour upon hour seeking the Lord. And God brought a revival to Scotland. Oh, my God. In New York City, man asked for just a prayer meeting. A businessman called a prayer meeting. Six at first. Then it grew in hundreds and thousands At lunchtime, they would call upon the Lord. Families would come back together. Oh, my God, don't say you've got anything till things change in your life. You get a hold of something, they will change. Right here is where you get. God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, I need your voice. I need you. May I tell you, he'll come to you. You don't have to live off your pastor's revelation. If God spoke to Peter of old, he'll speak to you. If God spoke to Solomon, Samuel, he'll speak to you. Oh, my God, speak to me, Lord. I'm hungry. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. I've got to have a fresh reality. I've got to have a dynamic presence of the Holy Ghost. I need something that demands a revelation. I'm hungry for God, and I've got to be filled. I'm hungry. Oh, my God, in the name of Jesus.
Just name, refresh, oh, yeah.